नववे मायापुर धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगमयी की, यमुनामयी की, भक्ति देवी की, तुलसी देवी की, दुष्टिकुंज धाम की, the most merciful lordship श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र महाराज की, श्री गौरताय की, श्री किशोर किशोरी की, इस्कान वर्तमान गुरु विंद की, कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, बृहत मृदंग ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की, इताय गौर प्रेम नंदे हरिबो, all glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavarava Girivaradari Gopi Janavarava Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Vajra Janaranjana Yashoda Yashoda Nandana Vaja Janana Yamunatira Vanachari. Yamunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janavara Bhagini Varadai Bhagini Varadai Gopi Janavara Bhagini Varadai Yashodananana Vaja Janananana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Yashodananana Vaja Janananana 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 Yamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Bhairavad Jagacharya Astotara Sata Shishimad His Divine Grace Shira Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Grantha Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Itai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bho. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritta Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nashta Prayeshvabhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyutama Shloki Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, under the Supermost Human Being, Nada Narayan Rishi, unto Mother Sarasvati, the Goddess of Learning, and under Srila Vyasadeva, the author, by regular attendance in class on Srimad Bhagavatam, and rendering service to the pure devotees. Everything that is inauspicious in the heart is almost completely destroyed and transcendental living service to the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, who is glorified with the best of songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So thank you very much for allowing me to give class. I'm very grateful. I asked my spiritual master how to give class, what's required, how one should give class, and he said, practice. Well, he said a lot of things, but one of them was repetitions, to do it. So we are now in the fourth canto, continuing in the 28th chapter, text 27, from the chapter called Paranjana Becomes a Woman in His Next Life. Please repeat. Ananta paretamasi magno nashta smiti samaha shashpatir anubhuyartim pramada sanga dushitah ananta paretamasi. So that's ananta paretamasi magno nashta smiti samaha shashvatir anabhuyatim pramada sanga dushitah ananta paretamasi magno nashta smiti samaha shashvatir anabhuyatim Pramada Sangha Dushitaha. Ananta Paretamasi. Magno Nashta Smiti Samaha. Shashpati Nabhuyatim. Pramada Sangha Dushitaha. Ananda paretamasi magno nashta spiti samaha shashpati anabhuyatim pramada sanga dushitah Shashpati Ranabhuyatim Pramada Sangha Dushitaha. Mother Prabhu's?
Ananta Pare Tamasu Magno Nashta Smriti Samaha Saraswati Dhanabhuya Tim Pramada Sangadushitaha Ananta Pare Tamasi Magno Nashta Smriti Saraswati Dhanabhuya Tim Pramada Sangadushitaha
Anantapare, unlimitedly expanded. Tamasi, in the material existence of darkness. Magnaha, being merged. Nashtasmitihi, bereft of all intelligence. Samaha, for many years. Shashvatihi, practically eternally. Anubhuya, experiencing. Artim, the threefold miseries. Pramada, of women. Sangha, by association. Dushitaha, being contaminated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Puranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years. Please repeat. Due to his contaminated association with women. A living entity like King Puranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years. Purport. This is a description of material existence. Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna, Nashta Smritihi. In this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. So, when is material existence experienced?
When one gets his position as sort of Krishna becomes attached to
him. Yeah. The key word here, though, is contaminated, due to his contaminated association with women. So, in this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. To save human civilization from the darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. In this way, the living entity can be saved from the catastrophe of ignorance as well as bodily transmigration. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Anadi karma pali padi bhavarnava jale taribare na deki upaya Avishaya hale hale diva nisha hiya jvale mana kabu sukha nahi paya. Because of my past fruitive activities, I have now fallen into an ocean of nescience. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly, day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. Material existence is always full of anxiety. People are always trying to find many ways to mitigate anxiety. But because they are not guided by a real leader, they try to forget material anxiety through drink and sex indulgence. Foolish people do not know that by attempting to escape anxiety by drink and sex, they simply increase their duration of material life. It is not possible to escape material anxiety in this way. The word pramada sangha dushitaha indicates that, apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's miserable material existence. Consequently, in Vedic civilization, one is trained from the beginning to give up attachment for women. The first stage of life is brahmachari, the second stage grihastha, the third stage vanaprastha, and the fourth stage sannyas. All these stages are devised to enable one to detach himself from the association of women. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Meditangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Mena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvita Hungtang Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Para Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Bhavaribhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham karoti vachalam bhangan langayate ginim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurundinatarinam. Translation, one more time. Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Puranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years. So Srila Prabhupada starts out by mentioning that this is a description of material existence. Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. So later on in the purport, he says that at the end of the purport, last paragraph, he says, apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's miserable material existence. So, Prabhupada is mentioning attachment to woman. So, I don't know if that applies to those in a female body as well, or not. I would probably say those are the opposite gender. I can't actually remember what it's like to be in a female body, so I can't remember if I had attachment to men or not. But obviously, I'm in a male body now, and I've heard from devotees that because if one has an attachment to a female, he'll take a female body. If one has an attachment to a male, he'll take a male body. So I'm getting confirmation about that. So we can safely assume that when Prabhupada says attachment to a woman, we can imply that it means to attachment to a member of the opposite gender. So it's actually this attachment to the members of the opposite gender, which is really the root cause of all of our material existence. Prabhupada says very clearly that apart from all other contamination, like even if one has no other contamination, if one is free from all other desires, if one simply remains attached to a member of the opposite gender, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's miserable material existence. Well, actually, Prabhupada's not exactly saying here that attachment to gender is the root of all attachment. Because really, any attachment can keep one in the material world. If one is free, completely liberated from all material desires, but he has an attachment to gulab jamuns, then that also is enough to keep one in the material world. I've heard Prabhupada say that if one has any material attachment, that's enough to keep one in the material world. Any amount of material attachment. But this verse is particularly about attachment to members of the opposite gender. And so he mentions in the final paragraph that consequently, in Vedic civilization, one is trained from the beginning to give up attachment for women and men. The first stage of life is brahmachari, the second stage grihastha, the third stage vanaprast, and the fourth stage sannyas. All these stages are devised to enable one to detach himself from the association of women or members of the opposite gender. Of course, in the female life, I don't think that there is brahmachari. In ISKCON, we hear brahmacharini, which I don't know if Prabhupada made that up or not. Yeah, he made that up. So there's actually an ashram for females to practice brahmacharini life. So this is, these are the different varnas, right? Or the ashram. These are the ashrams. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And so ISKCON is set up so everyone will go through these four stages of life, actually. It's an institution. It's an institution for helping everyone. You know, Prabhupada says right here, the main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness, to save human civilization from the darkness of ignorance. This movement was started. And so the darkness of ignorance is attachment to members of the opposite sex, attachment to any, you know, type of desire to exploit the material elements for our own gratification, actually. So this is the purpose of brahmachari. And so it's really recommended, Srila Prabhupada recommended that every male in ISKCON remain brahmachari. He said that that's ideal ISKCON. All the men are brahmacharis, and all the women are married, which is, you know, one may ask, well, how is that possible? Well, in one of the purports to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that, I forget exactly which purport, which verse it is, but it says that the Krishna consciousness movement, bhakti yoga, is such a powerful process that actually, that one automatically loses one's taste for sex enjoyment. And so, as a result, the men can get married. Like in other processes of self-realization, apparently, there's no marriage. Like, it's just full-on renunciation. You can't get married. But in the bhakti movement, the grihasthas are actually, if they're strict and they only engage in sex for the purposes of producing Krishna conscious children, they're also called brahmachari. They're called grihastha brahmachari. That's what Prabhupada said in this purport I'm speaking of. Does anybody know exactly which purport that is? You think it's the sixth chapter? Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's when he's talking about the processes of one must go to a secluded place and lay kusha grass on the ground. I think it's in that section. Prabhupada mentions this. That's the one? Okay. Anyway, that purport is in the sixth chapter. It's in one of the, it could be in one of those two verses. And so, it's definitely important that everyone get brahmachari training. Like, that's what brahmachari means. Actually, Bhakti Vikas Swami wrote a whole book about what it means to be brahmachari. Actually wrote two books, and he put them together. One's called Brahmachari and Krishna Consciousness. The other one is a brahmachari reader. It's a manual for being brahmachari. And really, it's just, you know, references from Shastra about brahmachari. He didn't write it himself. He took statements from Prabhupada and, organized it in a way. And I'm going to study that book. I'm going to make a deliberate attempt at, like, you know, studying that book. I think it's a good idea for anybody, for everyone, because everybody is supposed to get brahmachari training. The first stage of life is brahmachari. So that's the ideal, that everybody, you know, try to get at least some kind of brahmachari training. That's the purpose of brahmachari life, is to learn how to control the senses, to learn how to, you know, fix one's mind on Krishna and, you know, can transcend these urges of the body due to material conditioning. So, one may ask, well, so how is this done? How is it possible to control the urges of the senses? We sometimes hear people say that, well, it's natural. It's very natural, these urges we have. It's just part of being alive. It's part of existence. So we should just go with it. But, you can try to do that. Try to go with your senses, but then see what happens. You know, anybody who's actually cognizant, who's, you know, paying attention to their life and reality, we'll see that there's no happiness in, you know, sex indulgence, actually. There's no real happiness. It doesn't lead to any real happiness. Like, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, really nice verse. It's the 16th verse where Krishna says, quote, "Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. So this sex enjoyment is really, sex desire is really the you could say it's like the mother of all desires, because so many desires come from it. Like if we're nurturing a desire to enjoy this, then that spawns so many other desires. You know, like in order to enjoy this sex properly, we have to be able to attract the members of the opposite sex. So in order to do that, we have to go through so many, you know, so many hoops. We have to do so many things in order to, you know, attract it. And so it just goes on and on. So this is what Krishna means when he says, perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions. So this is the nature of attachments, is that they sprout out and they connect, they create other attachments, and then so this network grows to actually completely just entangle and completely in this network of, you know, all based on this one thing. And so if we can get free from this desire, then we can get free from many, many other ones. Because I can't think of one material desire that is more involved than this desire for to enjoy with the opposite gender. That has more, you know, implications, is connected to other, you know, material attachments than this one. So if one can get free from this one desire, then, you know, that's, you're doing really good. that's basically, if you can get free from the desire to enjoy the member of the opposite sex, then you're being in a very good position. And so Krishna explains how to do it in the end of the third chapter. You know, that's the discussion at the end of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is Arjuna is asking, O descendant of Vrishni, this is the 36th verse, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? And then the famous verse, Kama Esha, Sri Bhagavan Raja, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna Samudbhavaha, Mahashina Mahapapma, Vidyenam Iha Vairinam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion, and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. And then, as fire is covered by smoke, as mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of lust. And then there's a string of famous verses at the end. It says, Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena nalenacha. Thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Indriyani mano buddhi rasyadhisthanam uchite etaya vimohayat yesha jnanama vritadehinam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust, and through them lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Tasmat tvam indriyan yada niyam ya bharatarshubha papmanam bhajahi yenam jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, Arjuna, best of the Bhartas, in the very beginning, brahmachari, when you're 5 years old, go live at the Gurukul and train yourself in how to control your senses. In the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses, and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So he says we have to regulate our senses. In the second chapter, it says, Raga Devesha Vimuktaistu Atma Vasa Vishyanindriyaishchara Atma Vasa Vidyatma Prasadam Adigachati. One who gives up attachment and aversion, and who can control the senses by the regulative principles, can achieve the complete mercy of the Lord. And yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya manava or karmasya. Yukta svatnava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukaha. By regulation in work, sleep, eating, etc. Basically by having a regulated life, one can get free from all the pangs of material misery. So regulation is very important. So what that means is we should get up at the same time every day, go to Mangal Arati every day, do the whole morning program every day, eat the same time, same thing. You know, in this way, one can become less, you know, if there's less variety in the types of things that are stimulating our senses, then we become less, attracted, or we become less, we don't pay attention to them as much. Like I was noticing, like in our van for a few months, we were eating just khichdi every day. This is like the same thing. We made it the same way. There's like no variety at all. And it's just like, okay, and I'm just maintaining my body right now, you know. It's like the more regulation we can possibly get, it's like it lessens the degree to which we're even like considering what's going on with our senses. So this is this principle of regulation. By regulating the senses, you can curb the great symbol of lust and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Because if we're less distracted by what's going on with our senses, we're less involved, then we can really focus on what's going on. You know, when these anartas arise in our heart, then we can actually notice them. Because actually, if so many different types of sense stimulation are occurring within our body, then they may it may drown out the types of things that we should really be paying attention to. It's just like it's recommended to wake up early, it's Brahma Muhurta, hour and a half before sunrise, and perform spiritual activities. Well, why is that? Well, it's because nobody else is awake. Like there's one of these elements, bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano bhurayuja. One of the elements is ether. And what this ether is, it's a substance that transmits sound vibration. And so when there's less, you know, people awake to make noise, then this ether is clear. There's less distortion, pollution. There's less noise pollution. So it's easier for us to pay attention to our kirtan, our bhajan, our kirtan. It's easier for us to hear. So similarly, if there's less, you know, noise or pollution represented by bodily stimulation produced by, you know, different types of palatable food stuff. Actually, in the Nectar of Instruction, and I believe it's the first verse in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Anuvriti commentary, he says that eventually devotees should give up taking palatable food stuff. Like there's this conception in ISKCON that, you know, as long as we offer our food to Krishna, then it's prasadam, and then in that way we're renounced. But actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that ultimately everyone should give up taking palatable food stuff. And so one should actually do that eventually. That's recommended to do. So anyway, back to the previous point. So when there's less, you know, distraction by having to deal with, okay, I'm eating a palatable food stuff, but it's Krishna prasadam, so that's my detachment, you know. It's like but it's much easier to be detached if we're not eating palatable food stuff. You know, if we're eating like all these opulent dishes and everything, then we have to think, okay, this is really opulent dish, and so I should be detached from this. Okay, how am I going to be detached? Okay, yeah, it's Krishna prasadam. Krishna enjoyed it. I'm taking this as devotional service to Krishna. So there's like all this like extra, stuff you have to go through just to become detached from trying to enjoy the prasadam for yourself. So we should regulate our senses and reduce the amount of sense stimulation. And this way we can focus on the real tough ones, you know, like sex desire. The working senses, so, okay, then he says, Krishna says, Indriyani paranyahor indriyebhya param manaha manasastu para buddhi yo buddhi paratastu saha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So this is a hierarchy. We have the senses. We have dull matter than the senses. And then the mind is higher than the senses. And the intelligence is higher than the mind. And the soul is even higher than the intelligence. Evam buddhe puram budva sangasta bhyat manam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupam durashadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So when these anartha's desires arise in our heart, we have to use our intelligence and recognize it and root out the cause of this illusion. It's illusion. Like especially the desire to enjoy with the opposite gender is the toughest one to get free from. You could practically say, of course, in the prasadam prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that actually the desire to enjoy palatable food stuff is the toughest one to get free from. But actually, in the Anuvritti commentary, the Nectar of Instruction, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you can control your desire to enjoy palatable food stuff, if you can control the tongue, then you can control the belly and the genitals as well. So actually, if one can control the tongue, then it's much easier to control this desire to enjoy the opposite gender. And so one has to, in the beginning stages of devotional service, it may seem like we have unlimited, anarthas and desires and things in our heart. And so this is why it's very important to really practice a lot. What should I say, Nishchaya, basically just don't give up. Be determined. Like in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita here, just after, I really like this verse. It says, Krishna says, Sa nischayena yoktavyo yoga nirvina chetasa sankalpa prabhavanam kamangs tattvasarvana sheshataha manasaivindriya gramam viniyamya samantataha. So this is what we should do. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. So this word determination is a very interesting word. It's a very powerful word. If we actually apply determination, it comes from the word determine. To have determination means that you've determined. You've made a conclusion. You've concluded. It's like that. It's almost like the same. It's a very similar word. Conclusion and determine. That this is the truth. The truth is that happiness does not come from material sense gratification. Happiness comes from devotional service to Krishna. So we've made this determination. So I've determined this. So this is the conclusion, the conclusive truth. And so given that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. It's true under all circumstances. That happiness, we can go through every type of material sense gratification there is, and we will not, and we will absolutely never find anyone that will give us lasting happiness and fulfillment. And we can engage in devotional service to Krishna eternally, absolutely, and that will absolutely make us happy every time, as long as we don't have any have not made any offenses, as long as we're following the process properly. If we're following the process of bhakti properly, then we will absolutely be satisfied and happy and blissful. So this is the determination, that this is the truth, and so we should engage in the yoga with this determination, and we should understand that, and we should not be deviated. Because how can one become deviated? If one deviates from this path, then that's insanity. That's craziness. Because we've already determined that misery comes from material sense gratification. Not only does sense gratification not give us happiness, it puts us in unlimited and unlimited network of miseries. So if one deviates from this path, then one is an illusion. That one's insane, basically. And so Pramanais tachara acharais tarabhyasa nirandaram bodhiyanatmanam. What is it? Tatsaraj abhyasar. Anyway, the verse from the Brahma Samhita, that the highest attainment of devotional service, of perfection of life, is attained by small degrees. So we have to learn how to not become overwhelmed by all these, seemingly, by our network of illusions and anxieties. And so we have to be realistic. And the way to approach a large goal is to break it into small ones. So we should take each anartha we have and take that one out, one by one, like that, in a very systematic way. And one should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. So all these mental desires, all these material desires, are born of mental speculation. It's a concoction. They're all concocted. They're not real. They're just that we made them up. Like we have this speculation that we can be happy from material sense gratification, but it's not founded on reality or truth. It's not real. It's something that we created. It's man-made, just like this so-called civilization society we're living in. It's not going to last. You know, we have our society is based on it's a relativistic society, like all the jobs and stuff people have, like, you know, as, you know, ombudsman or, you know, who are those people that, develop insurance rates called? Actuaries, actuarial science, that's not absolute. You know, these things are all mental concoctions. They all come from mental speculation. So it's just like that. So we have to purify our consciousness by realizing what's reality. The reality is that the purpose of our existence is loving devotional service to Krishna. And that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. That's the only absolute truth. Everything else we think is true is relative. It doesn't last. Anything aside from this absolute truth that we're servants to Krishna isn't real. It's illusion. It's temporary. It's useless. It's called asat. Useless in this life and the next. So I have to stop early. But if there's any questions, we can do that now. Hare Krishna. I have to stop at 8:25. That's in like 1 minute. Unless somebody else wants to do the offering. Okay.
Well, we can approach that with two angles that I can think of. One is that, if somebody is more advanced than us, how can we know what their consciousness is? You know, they might be just completely in ecstasy, enjoying just Krishna's prasadam, you know, and they might be completely detached from the sensual aspects of that engagement. So, we should never think that devotees are regular people. We should never try to find fault or criticize with the devotees, especially those that are more senior or advanced to us. Even if we think that that we can give some instruction to this person, if I think, oh, I should correct this person, then I have some knowledge, I have some insight on what the actual truth or reality is, that we shouldn't indulge in actually trying to instruct those types of people who are more senior than us. It's not a position. It's a breach of etiquette. So we have to understand etiquette, that those who even those who are more junior than us, it's not always our position to give them advice either. Just like Nityananda Prana, I think he was mentioning yesterday about this, that if you're in a position, if it's your service to give an advice to others, we can do it. But we shouldn't be so concerned about others and what they're doing, especially if they're more senior or advanced. So that's the one angle of vision I was thinking about. And the other one is, I think that's probably, maybe I was just thinking of one really. But maybe someone else has something to add about that. Yes, Ashray. Well, I mean, that verse, Jastayasa Bhavadanatarva Pashashtra Doshar Gangam Basam Nakalagub, or something. I can't remember all the Sanskrit exactly, but it's that a pure devotee is not contaminated by any. That's the translation. Pure devotee is. Yeah, even though, you know, the Ganga may be full of foam, bubbles, and mud. Similarly, the body of a pure devotee might be full of, you know, disease or, you know, stuff like that. But we should. But as someone who's wise, who's advanced in knowledge, will bathe in that Ganga, even if it's apparently seems contaminated. So similarly, one who's got knowledge will associate with the pure devotee, despite the condition, the external condition. So, yeah. And so even if, you know, if we see, you know, someone who's more, you know, supposed to be advanced, taking, you know, food stuff that is, you know, tasty, palatable, then, you know, we shouldn't, really, I just don't think that we should even, you know, consider anything about that. You know, it's like if it's our spiritual master or something, you know, we shouldn't think, okay, this person's an ordinary person. That's basically what it is. If you're thinking, okay, this person's eating tasty foodstuffs, so he must be ordinary. That's what comes from that. So we can't ever think like that. You know, Srila Prabhupada used to eat, you know, tasty foodstuff. But obviously, Srila Prabhupada is sent directly from the spiritual world to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, I mean, there's no way we can tell what's going on in the mind of a Mahabhagavat, or even, you know, people that have been in the movement steadily practicing for, you know, 40 years. You know, how do we know what it's like, what their mentality is like? So, there's all kinds of things that are beyond our scope, our capacity to understand. So we should know our limitations. That there's different classes. They're in a different class from us. Anyway, did you still have a comment, Dr. Richard? Yeah, well, right. Bhakti Richard's saying that we should take food not to fulfill our hunger or bodily needs, but to purify us from our material infection. Yeah, that's true. So what that means is taking prasadam, like honoring prasadam, not eating food. What's the difference between eating food and honoring prasadam? like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to circumambulate his prasadam three times, offer obeisances, and then, you know, very, you know, intense, you know, fixed consciousness, he would honor the prasadam. The prasadam is not different from Krishna. That's seeing the prasadam as prasadam, realizing that it's not food. This isn't food that's like for our enjoyment. It's just, we're doing this as a service, you know. It purifies our consciousness and our body. I don't have all that much realization on prasadam myself, but this is kind of like the little bit that I know. It's not different from Krishna. Like, it totally, like, you know, there's this devotee in Vrindavan, Prabhupada Dasama, named Bhubaneshwara Prabhu. And he's, I got to meet him last time I was in Vrindavan. He actually invited me to lunch. Because, anyway, he makes the Rajaboga offering for the, you know, Sri Krishna Balaram and Rana Shama Sundar Lali Pashak and Gornatai every day. He's been doing it for 20 years. And so whoever makes the Rajaboga gets the Maha plate, you know. So he's basically been taking, you know, Krishna Balaram Mahaprasadam for 20 years only. Like, that's all he takes. So if you're taking, so what happens, you know, scientific, you know, we know that the body changes over time. And so the body is produced of, you know, the substances that are put into it. So his body is completely prasadam. That's what happens. Like, the prasadam actually purifies the body. Like that. So it purifies the consciousness too. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah, so I think it was, I can't remember, because you read it on his appearance day. I don't know if it was, I wish I could quote it better. I know it's from one of our acharyas. I apologize for it.
What?
It's a good, but what I spoke about, oh, taking it not for bodily needs, but and taking what we like, but taking it for purification of material diseases, was from one of our acharyas.
So Bhakti Richards, for all those that are, you know, listening online, saying that there's a, one of our acharyas says that we should take what we like, but not for our own material desires or for bodily maintenance, but to purify our consciousness. So he can't exactly tell us what the reference is, but he's just saying he's heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Are they able to hear you?
No.
No. Yeah. So that was really nice. I don't know if I should repeat it or not. maybe I should. So Shri Prabhu was saying about how to actually, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on that idea that we should take prasadam for our own enjoyment. Not for our own enjoyment, but for, take the prasadam we like as a way to more or less train the mind as kind of like a sadhana. Because it's the nature of the mind is to, you know, if we perform too many austerities in a, like, prematurely, then the tendency is to basically bloop. To, you know, go through a lot of austerities and to just completely engage in sense gratification and then kind of kind of negates whatever austerities we've done. So Ashraya said we should perform austerity, then a little bit for the, to just appease the mind so it doesn't go crazy. A little bit of a, you know, have a, I guess, sense gratification. I don't know. That's what it is. But anyway. In a service attitude, yeah. There you go. So that's good. We can't. Like, it says we should give up palatable foodstuffs, but that's at a very advanced level. Like, that's like the ultimate goal, right? Like, we were talking about determination and not becoming overwhelmed by our anarthas. Same thing, you know. The way you achieve a long-term goal is by setting small goals. So if you want to get yourself free from being attached to palatable foodstuffs, and maybe, you know, use your mind, you know, guard your mind by use your intelligence, that whenever, you know, pay attention while you're taking prasadam. You know, when taking prasadam is such a razor's edge. You know, especially when you're taking prasadam has been offered to Kishore, you know, it's like the most opulent prasadam, you know, you could think of. And so it's dangerous, really, to take opulent prasadam. It's actually one of my friends. He's been in the movement for a long time. He's an expert in the CC. I guess some of you know him, Madhavendra Puri, the scientist. Well, he says that, you know, for those that are in the most advanced consciousness, like, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, people on that level, they think their mentality is that if they even, like, you know, just think about sense gratification, it's an offense. It's actually offensive to Krishna to have any desires. It's an offense. So this is just, you know, a glimpse into, like, the mentality of, you know, someone who's at the stage that we're supposed to be going toward, like that. So we have to take this long-term goal and break it down into smaller ones. You know, so it begins with if, you know, when we take prasadam, we do it, you know, mindfully. You know, okay. You know, we have to be there, present, and understand. You know, we should, you know, say the prayer. You know, sarira vidjal jodanjritaka. You know, this body is a place of ignorance. You know, thinking that I can get happiness from food stuff is an illusion. So I'm just taking this, you know, just so I can maintain my body, so I can serve Krishna. Because real happiness comes from Krishna. That's where real happiness comes from. If I try to get happiness from this body, I'm just going to be an illusion. So, you know, using understanding one to be transcendental in mind, senses, etc., one should use one's spiritual intelligence and conquer this satiable enemy known as lust. Like that. You had something to say way back when? Yeah, like, yeah, right. Like, we have, there is Mahaprasadam, you know, there's, like, really opulent Mahaprasadam. And so somebody's going to take it. You can't, like, just throw it away, right? So yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he's completely absorbed in thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. And he doesn't even let a nanosecond go by and he's not thinking of Krishna. There's never a time when he's not praying Krishna. So he's taking prasadam for Krishna. So, yeah, that's a nice comment. His austerity, his renunciation, they're part of sadhana. Did you have something?
Also, Arjuna's fighting, killing, as a warrior.
mm-hmm.
including his desires. Remember, he gives his desires to fulfill the mission of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, we use our propensity in the service of the Lord. Sometimes my understanding is that that's not completely pure. But apparently, like what Arjuna is doing is completely pure, completely spiritual activity. So, is there a difference between engaging our propensities in the service of the Lord if we do completely disengage?
So, Dvija Manikura is asking if there's a difference between engaging our propensities in the service of the Lord and being completely surrendered. Well, the way I understand is that that's like engaging our propensity is kind of more or less like, I mean, at least this is what one senior devotee, or not really senior, but he told me that that's kind of like karma yoga. Like, you know, if we have some desire, or, you know, like, yeah, I mean, that's what it's explained here in the third chapter, you know, sixth verse. Na buddhi bedam janayet agyanam karma sanginam shoshayet sarva karmani vidvain yukta samachan. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men, attached to the fruit of results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. As by working the spirit of devotion, you should engage them in all sorts of activities. So by engaging someone's propensities, joshiyat means dovetailing. Joshiyat, he should dovetail others in devotional service. That's kind of like engaging them in like karma yoga. Like that's the understanding I have of karma yoga, that it's just engaging our desire, our propensities. Like say if I'm a good, you know, painter, and I use that to paint Krishna. But if the spiritual master tells me it'd actually be better if you did something else for Krishna. Actually what I really need is somebody to go out on book distribution. So although you're a good painter and you're painting for Krishna, really it'd be better if everybody just went out on book distribution. But if you said, no, I can't give up painting, you know, because I just have an attachment to it, but I can use it in Krishna's service. That's not as pure as just saying, okay, I surrender to the spiritual master. I'll just do whatever the spiritual master wants to do, and just gives up whatever propensity one has. Because devotional service, says in Nectar Devotion, it's completely pure. It's not dependent on any material condition. That's explained in the fourth, I think. No, fifth chapter, how devotional service is completely pure. So, yeah, it's good to engage your propensity in devotional service if that's what, you know, the guru, the spiritual master instructs. Then it becomes, you know, more pure, I guess. Does that make sense? Does that answer good enough? Sufficiently your question? Okay. I mean, I can go as long as you guys want. All right. So if there's nothing else, okay, yeah, something else. Okay, yeah, sure. That's a good question. Yeah, I've been experiencing this recently. He's asking about how one can systematically remove one's anartas one by one. Well, I think, first of all, we have to notice that we have anartas. You know, just like in the 12-step program, the first step to recovery is to realize that one has a problem. We have to be cognizant enough, or conscious enough, whichever word is it, to realize when there is an anarta present in our heart, which is, you know, fructifying. So that's, you know, easy enough to tell. It's because it's basically anxiety. Like Prabhupada says here in the purport to the current present verse, material existence is always full of anxiety. So material existence, it comes from material desires, which are anarthas. So anarthas can be practically experienced by anxiety in the heart. Or you can actually feel, you can feel a knot or something in the heart. Like in this song that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining. I feel a burning sensation. No, he says, we are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly, day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. So when we say that these anarthas are in the heart, it's not like a simile. It's, you can actually feel it. Am I right? Can you guys feel it in the heart? It's actually there in the heart. And so, and it's like a closedness. It's like a knot. It's like the heart is closed up or something. And so we have to notice that. And we have to use our intelligence to figure out what it is. You know, we have to know what the science of devotional service is, you know. We have to be free from desire for respect. You know, we have to be free from, you know, fault finding. We have to be free from pride. There's six, you know, things that lead to hell. You know, lust, pride, anger, you know, illusion, calm, desire, crowd, anger, lobe, greed, and then pride, envy, and illusion. Those six things that lead to hell. Those are the main anarthas. So we have to figure out, okay, what's causing this blockage in my heart? Because the anarthas, they're blocks for bhakti. Like, you know, when we have these unwanted knots in the heart, it doesn't allow us to love Krishna, you know, or anyone properly. It's a block. It's like a wall. So they have to be removed. So we have to figure out what's causing it. And then when we figured out what's causing it, we have to correct our mentality. We have to realize that there's something going on with something wrong with our mentality. You know, we're not like I'm expecting too much honor or something. I'm expecting these people to respect me, or I'm proud or some of that. And then we have to realize I have no reason to feel like this. This is illusion. Krishna is actually, you know, the one who should be worshipped and honored. So we have to correct our consciousness. And when we do that, when we put ourselves back in our actual place, you know, prakriti kriyamanani gurai karmani sarvacha ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti mandate. Spirit soul thinks that he's the doer, you know, because of false ego, he's bewildered by his false ego. He's illusioned, you know. What's the other ahankara verse? Yeah, it's in the 18th chapter here. It says, Machita sabhabhutanam, machita satatam. What is it? 1857. No, that's not it. 1858. Machita sarva dorgarani maprasada drishasi atta chaitama hankara. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of a conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So if you let this false ego go and you don't correct the false ego, you'll be lost. And you won't be able to remember Krishna. So we have to get rid of the false ego by paying attention to it, figuring out what's causing it. This takes attention and intelligence. It usually comes from the mind, the rascal demon mind. The idiot mind. He's just a product of material conditioning. Is that good enough, or do you need more? Did you add, yes, Ankit? Prabhu. Can you speak louder, please? Okay. Oh yeah. So the question is, until the heart is purified. Which are not what? Are not that big. Well, so you're saying until how can one remove the anarchas which are not that big? Right, that's what you're asking. When one's consciousness is not purified, how do you identify anarthas? Well, you got to purify your consciousness. You got to remember Krishna. See, actually, everything's for our purification. If we try to engage in devotional service and nothing's happening, that means there's something in our heart that's keeping it from happening. Like if we're trying to, you know, devote ourselves to Krishna, and he's just like, you know, saying, sorry, I'm not listening to you right now. That means that there's something in our heart which is keeping us from doing that. And so then, our natural propensity is to engage in loving devotional service to Krishna. That's our original position. That's what we're supposed to do. And so if we're not able to do that, that means there's something getting in our way. So we have to figure out what it is. You know, we have to, you know, pay attention to our mentality, like, you know, like what we're thinking about, like with the kind of activities we've been engaging in, what our desires are, you know. We have to take a internal, you know, inventory of what's going on in there. And we also have to know the Siddhanta. We have to know what's pleasing to Krishna. Trinadapi sunichina tarareva sahishtina amani namani kichniyari sarahari. There's a whole list, you know, in the end of the 12th chapter that everybody should know about, you know. He was a kind friend to everyone. He's, you know, without cares, free from pains, not striving for some result, not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who's not disturbed by anyone, who doesn't put anyone else into distress. These are things that are dear to Krishna. So, you know, are we being too... And we could think, you know, how am I behaving? Am I behaving in a puffed up way? Do I have some, you know, illusion about my position and how people should be relating to me? And so, yeah, so we ourselves have to be able to be enough out of illusion to tell what, you know, the actual reality is regarding what pleases Krishna and what we're doing. You know. And then we can correct it. Then we have to identify what we're doing wrong, and then we have to correct it. Does that make any sense? Okay. Having faith in the process? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada explains in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Well, Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you don't have faith, then that just takes you to birth and death. But the process of Krishna consciousness is developing faith. It means to grow your faith. So in the beginning you have like very little faith. But then the process of advancement means your faith grows. Like that's, you know, the different levels, you know, Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. Kanishta Adhikaris have no faith, or their faith is very shaky. They're easily swayed. Madhyama Adhikaris, they have some faith. Actually, they have strong faith. Madhyama Adhikaris have strong faith, but they have little conclusive shastric knowledge. And the Uttama Adhikaris, they have strong faith, and they have also a lot of very conclusive shastric, you know, evidence to support their faith. And so the Uttama Adhikaris are never swayed. They can present arguments to defeat anyone. The Madhyama Adhikaris can't, so they can sometimes be swayed. Well, it's been that this Madhyamas have strong faith. So one should not remain a Kanishta Adhikari. So one should get faith. And the way one gets faith is by, you know, engaging in devotional service and associating with devotees. Associating with the devotees that have faith, they give you faith. By praying to Krishna for faith. Faith in the process. Yeah, that's the most important, to have faith. Agishcha shadadanascha sangsyatmavanashati nayam lokusina paras nasukam sangsyatmanah. Those who don't have faith in this process, they can be neither happy in this life nor in the next. Agishcha shadadanascha sangsyatmavanashati nayam lokusina paras nasukam sangsyatmanah. You gotta have faith. If you don't have faith, then you won't achieve the goal. Okay, anything else? Was that good enough? Okay. Okay. Grantarashima Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Jagannath Pallav Subhadra Devi ki jai. Shri Gaurinitai. Shri Kishore Kishori ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Very purifying.